1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been looking at the subject of charity. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we saw firstly that the Greek word was the word agape, and agape means love. We saw the English word charity that's used here, and we found that 29 times agape is translated charity in the New Testament. And each time it is, it's referring to the love that I as a Christian have for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as we come to chapter 13, we recognise the word used is distinctively used to refer to brotherly love between brothers and sisters in Christ. We looked at the context. We saw the context was one of spiritual gifts that have been given to us in the body of Christ and how to use those gifts, and that it's charity that empowers or energizes those gifts. We saw the context of the whole book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and dare I say, we see a dysfunctional church. We see a church not practicing charity. We see a church showing many, many things that show 1 Corinthians 13 was very much needed. And we'll certainly, as we go through verses 4 to 7 this evening, we'll see some of those things highlighted and what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us about charity. We said before we're not going to define charity, but what we are going to do is we're going to show how it is demonstrated and displayed. And particularly in these verses, we see also some things that are not charity and those things that are charity. So if you're with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's read it all four verses together, starting at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Do you find as you read those verses now that they seem so much different from how you used to read them? Because you were thinking, hey, they're to do with love and marriage. But when you understand that he's addressing the church at Corinth and their need to show Christian love one to another, it changes it, doesn't it? Let's pray and ask the Lord just to bless us once again this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for your preserved and pure words. And I pray, Lord, as we read them and as we teach from them, that once again, Lord, you would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, as our prayer is that we and our churches would be places that charity is displayed and demonstrated, so that all men would know that we are your disciples. So teach us to that end this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Charity. This morning we looked at the value of charity, and this evening we want to think about the virtue of charity. And there's a number of short phrases we're going to go through and look at them as we get a little bit more idea of how charity is displayed and demonstrated. The first one we see is charity suffereth long. Suffereth long. Do you remember what we saw as we looked at the context, that the Corinthians were very impatient with other people? When I say other people, other members of the body of Christ. And so Paul comes in with this and says, the Christian love that you should be showing to your brothers and sisters is one of patience. This idea of suffering long is patient endurance under provocation. That might sound like a lot of big words. It was interesting when we were having our, misconceptions, etc. One of the questions that was asked was, you know, if someone was coming to church and they stopped coming to church, for how long do we keep trying to reach out to them, encourage them to come back? The answer's there. What does it say? Charity suffereth long. It reminds me of the Apostle Peter coming to Jesus and saying, how many times should we forgive someone? 7 times? And what was Jesus' answer? 70 times 7. He didn't mean that when you get to 490, I know you've all worked it out before, that when you get to 490 you stop there. What was he saying? He was saying charity suffereth long. A patient endurance with one another. How often do we get impatient with our brothers and sisters in Christ because to us they just don't seem to be getting it as quickly as they should be? Or they keep tripping up. And why is it that they haven't got their act together like I have? But you know, charity suffers long. It's patient. The idea and the thought there is also of it's slow to become resentful. Charity suffers long. And then it goes on to say, and is kind. Charity is kind. You know something about cliques? They're cruel. And they're unkind. Have you ever thought about that? Do you know what it's like to be excluded? When I was in high school, I was going to say we used to play, but it wasn't playing. But we used to do something that was called being sent to Coventry. And I don't know any of you have experienced that, but it went like this. Somebody or a group of people would suddenly decide a particular person was in Coventry, and that meant you didn't talk to them, you totally ignored them, you had nothing to do with them for a period of time. And I'll tell you what, when you were put into Coventry, that was cruel and unkind. It was a high school game, but it wasn't funny. But how often do we play that game in church with people? We have our cliques and we exclude other people. They're not part of it. Or because they don't act like us or dress like us or respond, we put them into Coventry. And that's sad. Charity is kind. Cliques are unkind and cruel. Another thing we saw about the Corinthians, they were a lot about me first. That's not kind, is it? Me first. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And listen to this last part of it. Here's how you can display and demonstrate it. All right? How do I show charity to my brothers and sisters in Christ? In honour, preferring one another. See, one way to display and demonstrate Christian love for my brothers and sisters in Christ is it's no longer about me first, but you go first. I'm not important, you're important to me. And in honour, I'm going to prefer you. That's charity. That's Christian love demonstrated and displayed. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And what's the basis of it? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. When you consider the model prayer, we sometimes wrongly call it, that should have been another misconception. We sometimes wrongly call it the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. It's just a side teaching for you, okay? It's the model prayer, our Father which art in heaven. It's a model because they said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, this is the model or the manner in which you should pray. But in there, they're saying that we need to forgive others, even as God has forgiven us. And it says, be kind one to another, because charity is kind. And what does it involve? It involves being tender-hearted, being soft towards people, forgiving them. How often? Well, charity suffers long, doesn't it? And how long should our kindness go on? It should go on and on and on. How often does God forgive us? Does he come to 490 and say, Derek, that's your quota, you've done them? No. God is long-suffering.
And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we truly come to him in confession and acknowledge, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm not blaming anybody else. It's my fault. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And that's the model for us in the charity that we show to each other. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and the model is how God, for Christ's sake, continuously forgives us. Charity is kind.
Charity is kind. Thirdly, we see charity envieth not. We've seen a couple of things that charity is. Here we get our first one of what charity is not. Charity doesn't envy. Do you remember when we looked at the Corinthian church that they envied each other's gifts? You know, they were saying, God's made me a foot, but I really want to be the head. God's made me a hand, but I wish I could be the eye. Man, you guys are lucky that you got to be the ears. I'm just a big toe. And Paul goes on to teach in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that every one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ for the body to function properly. But you know the most amazing thing that I like in that passage is many times we envy the gifts of others and miss the point that God actually says that the most uncomely, the most ugly parts are actually the most necessary parts. And sometimes our envy is coming from, we see the most attractive looking things and think, I want to be that. And you've actually totally missed the point, because you might have actually been given the ugly part, but it's actually one of the most important parts. And that's an important thing for us to understand, and we come to this envying. Why be envying other people's gifts? God has given us the gifts that he's given to us because he knows what's best for us, and we have an important part to play in the body of Christ. Rather than charity envying, charity is pleased that others are honoured or exalted. There's no jealousy, there's no envy. In charity, Christian love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're excited, glad to see that you did so well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Encourage them. Charity envieth not. Then fourthly we see, it says that charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The idea of it is that charity does not put itself on parade. If you truly have Christian love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're not going to walk around in the church putting yourself on parade, because it's not about you. It's about others. You're not going to walk around the church and parade how much knowledge you have about the Bible and maybe about a whole lot of other things. Because charity doesn't do that. You're not going to parade around and be all puffed up about your wisdom and the fine decisions that you make in life. Because charity doesn't do that. Charity doesn't parade itself around as a great orator. Because charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. This is a saying that used to be around in New Zealand, and maybe some of you young ones may have never heard about it, but it's the thought of these people that are all fluff and no substance. You heard that one? Of course you did, I just said it. But that's what it's talking about. People that are just all fluff and there's no substance. And where's that come from? It comes from the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13 we talked about. You know, you can go around saying, oh, I've got knowledge and I know this and that. But what does it say in those first three verses? Without charity, it's just all fluff and no substance. And so charity does not vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. And it goes back to the verse we looked at before in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Knowledge is just a whole lot of hot air. But Christian love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that edifies, that builds up, that strengthens people, that encourages people. Fifthly, we're told that charity doth not behave itself unseemly. One of the saddest things at the church at Corinth was the sexual immorality that was going on. But worse than that was the fact that they were doing nothing about it. And even worse than that was the fact that some were even glorying in what was going on. Also in 1 Corinthians we find that the people in the church were abusing the gift of tongues. It was causing confusion in the church. It was confusing in the services. As you continue to read through 1 Corinthians, you'll find that there was disorderly conduct in the services. And yet charity does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." That's charity. That's Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Off-colour jokes, making fun of people, doing things which causes disruption and confusion in the services or in other people's lives. Charity doesn't do that. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. If we were to say, well, what is charity like if it doesn't behave itself unseemly? Charity is courteous. Charity is considerate. And if we're going to display and demonstrate Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's going to be shown by the courtesy that we show, and it's going to be shown by the consideration we show one for another. Number six, it tells us, in verse 5, charity seeketh not her own. Oh, we saw there in 1 Corinthians, these people were taking lawsuits out against each other. Rather than going to each other and, as the Lord Jesus had said, and between each other sorting these things out, they were going out into the world, into the courts, and allowing the unsaved to make judgment between disputes between brothers and sisters in Christ. The ultimate in selfishness. And yet charity seeketh not her own. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now don't turn that around the wrong way and say, "I thought you're supposed to mind your own business." It's not talking about that. What it's talking about is don't be so caught up in your own things that they're so important, but instead be thinking about other people and their needs and what you can do for them. See, selfishness basically comes down to, it's all about me and how I feel and what people are doing for me, but that's not charity. Charity is all about what I can do for you, what I can give to you, and how I can build you up and make you a better person. Charity seeketh not her own. See, charity is interested in what will build up other people. Charity is interested in what will assist other people. It's not interested in what's going to make me built up. The next one we see is charity is not easily provoked. Charity is not easily provoked. One of the things that stood out in the church at Corinth were divisions. They were easily provoked. They would take sides against each other. In fact, we saw that there were four divisions within the church. Groups of people saying, "I'm with him, and I'm with him, and I'm holier than them because I'm with him." They were easily provoked. They provoked each other very easily. You see that in the lawsuits even, right? Someone's offended me, I'm off to the Supreme Court, I'm going to deal to him. But that's not charity. That's not Christian love to my brother and sister. When it says charity is not easily provoked, it's saying, I'm willing to endure some slights or some insults or some offences or things that might hurt me because I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Charity is not easily provoked. Sometimes we all need to think about that, you know. It's like we wear our heart on our sleeves and someone says something or brushes past us, or we think that look meant something completely different. We're so easily provoked, aren't we? But charity's not like that. Instead of being easily provoked by others, you know what the Bible actually says? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." That's what charity does. When charity is not at work, we're easily provoked by other people's actions. But when we're showing charity to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're actually provoking them unto love and to good works. The complete opposite there, isn't it? It goes on to say that charity thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Churches are famous for prayer chains, which are really just gossip chains. But charity thinketh no evil. Charity doesn't thrive on gossip. Charity doesn't love to dig up dirt on other people and share it. Charity doesn't keep a record of wrongs. This is one of my favourite terms, and I think it's an Americanism. But charity doesn't gunny sack. Anybody heard of gunny sack before? Gunny sack is where you take things, offences against you, things that have hurt you or someone's done to you, and you shove it into this bag. You put it away and put it away until the bag's full, and then suddenly, blah, the whole lot comes out. Charity doesn't do that. And sometimes we do that. We just let things build up and build up and build up till we can't contain ourselves anymore, and then it all comes out. Charity doesn't do that. Why? Because charity suffereth long, and it's forgiven, and it continues to forgive, and it continues to forgive. See, charity thinketh no evil. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't store things up until finally, right, you've gone past the limit and you're going to get it all from me. Charity's not like that. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, we looked at this verse the other day, and I said we'd come back to the second part of it. It says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. We've this weekend just talked about having charity, but there's another level. There's another level, that's having fervent charity, but we're not going to talk about that enough. I think what we're dealing with now is more than enough to handle. But the last part of the verse says this, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That doesn't sound right. What's that talking about? Is that this practice and when the pastor sins that everybody covers it up and sends them off to another church and you go and do the same thing again? No. What that's talking about is when our brother or our sister falls into a fault, we're not going to go around and tell everybody else about what they did. We're going to help them to get things right with God and get their relationship restored and get them back on track. And we're not going to bring up those things. We're not going to say, here's this guy who's come back again. He's come to church and he's fallen away and he's come back. He's done it about 10 times. He did this and the other time he went off with this woman, he did that sort of thing. Charity doesn't do that. Charity hides a multitude of sins. Another verse. In relation to that, is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 12. It says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And that's not talking about that when there's sin that we cover it up and pretend it didn't happen. What that's talking about is that people, as they go through life within our body, we're not going to continue to bring up their faults and the things that went wrong in the past, because charity's not like that. Charity's forgiving. And with God's grace, it's also forgetting. And it's moving on. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. You're my brother and sister in Christ, and I love you, and I forgive you, and I'm not going to hold this thing that you did against you for the rest of your life. That's charity. Charity will cover a multitude of sins. Proverbs 17, verse 9, finishes off by saying, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. That helps us understand what it's talking about. See, true love is not going to talk to others about the faults of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you recognise that when you do that, you're actually going to destroy relationships. You're going to destroy friendships. You're going to hurt people within the body of Christ. And so charity doesn't do that. Continuing on, verse 6, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. See, the sad thing we mentioned here in 1 Corinthians was that this church was not dealing with immorality and sin, even to the point where they were boasting about it. The church was also using grace or their liberty in Christ to excuse the way that they were living. And Paul here, under inspiration, says charity doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." See, when people use the grace of God or the liberty they have in Christ as an excuse to continue on in sin, that's not charity. Stop using that as an excuse for you to be able to do whatever you want to do. What does it say in Romans chapter 6, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What was the answer? God forbid. That's a total misunderstanding of what grace is. And yet these people were using God's grace, his long suffering, his willingness to forgive over and over again as an excuse to just continue to live in sin and do the things that they'd always done. And Paul's saying charity doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. Don't use your liberty in Christ as an excuse for the way you're living, but instead it says, but by love serve one another. The next one we see there is in verse 7. Charity beareth all things. Charity beareth all things. That word bears has the idea of protection. It's the idea of the sun's beating down and I'm going to put up the umbrella over my brother and sister to protect them from the harsh rays of the sun. It's pouring with rain and I'm going to put up the umbrella and I'm going to protect them from the falling rain. Charity bears all things. It's there for our brothers and sisters to protect them. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 for just a moment. And I want you to notice firstly verse 2 of Galatians chapter 6. It says there, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And what was the law of Christ? That you love one another. But verse 2 applies back to what it says in verse 1. It says, "Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." See, love bears all things. And you know why it bears all things? Because it recognises that your brother and sister, that you're no different from them. And when they fall, it could have just as easily have been you. And wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so charity bears all things. And so when someone falls, it's not a time when we judge them, it's a time we get alongside of them. We put up the umbrella and we protect them. It's a time when those of us, as it says there in verse 1, that are spiritual, we're not out there condemning or judging. We're out there doing what we can to restore them. And all that time, we're considering ourselves, because we could be in exactly the same boat as them just as easily. And that's what charity's like. Our Christian love that we show to one another is one when we put up the umbrella when someone falls, and we're there to protect them. We're there to restore them, recognising it could just as easily have been me. After beareth all things, we find there in verse 7, charity believeth all things. Believeth all things. This is not naive. This is talking about that you don't regard people with suspicion. And sometimes we're like that. We're weary of people and we regard them with suspicion. But charity opens itself up to being hurt a little bit because we believe all things. We treat people in such a way that we don't treat them suspiciously. You know, when someone walks into the church,
They need to get an open and a welcoming smile and invitation from you. Not that, I wonder what they're up to and why they're here and why are they dressed like that. Christian love for our brothers and sisters believeth
all things. Believeth all things. Then it says, hopeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Christian love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is optimistic. It's optimistic. And then lastly, we see there in verse 7, charity endureth all things. Charity endureth all things. That means that it remains strong through the testing. The Christian love that we show to our brothers and sisters in Christ is something that remains strong no matter what the test comes. It means it's willing to suffer. It's willing to suffer. That's the sort of love that we ought to be showing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've gone through these four verses and we haven't given you a definition of charity. We've just shown how it's demonstrated and it's displayed within the body of Christ. And I hope those few thoughts that we've looked at would just challenge you in the sort of love that you are showing to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Tomorrow morning we're going to finish off with looking at the permanence of love and we'll see the victory of charity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.